Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris. He is Rob. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. And I'm sorry, the Fox Sports Radio studios. Man. And we got Washington.
Can you get it
Jesse
right?
You weren't here, so I'm not
answering.
I was.
I heard you, Flo.
We got our man Jesse Washington. He writes for the Undefeated.
I know, and he's Jesse co-author for a long time.
Co-author of a new book about John Thompson. So we will get into that and much more with him at the bottom of this hour. And then, of course, a nice, interesting shop talk. But the news of the day, news of the week, which is saying a lot in today's news cycle, Rob.
Well, I don't know. If the Chiefs lose, that might be news of the week, Chris.
Oh, that would be news of the week. Yes,
that would be.
It would be bigger than this. News of the week. Yes. Yeah. We're talking sports, obviously. There's other news, plenty of news.
Yes, there's plenty of news going on, right?
Right, right.
Real news.
James Harden. And I generally I've always liked James Harden. And a lot of people talk about his game and, oh, it's boring. I hate to watch him play. I actually really enjoy watching him play because I'm amazed that he can, for a guy to be able to create that type of space to get his jumper off or go by you, he's stationary, just dribbling the basketball in front of a lot of times a longer, more athletic defender. And Rob, he's able to get by him, get a layup or get fouled. Or
it's amazing,
space
to be honest.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I agree. It's the same thing every time.
Right.
Right? And he can do it. And he can score 30 points a game, 35 points a game. It's incredible.
Yep. So I enjoy watching him. I generally have liked him as a player. But, Rob, I guess the question we got to throw out, because I didn't like what he said, you know, last night with his teammates. I don't know if we have sound of that. Do we have sound, guys, or we not? Most people already have heard it. But he completely threw them under the bus. And they don't like it. John Wall, Boogie Cousins came out and said it. Like, yo, the problem started way before that comment. That comment was completely disrespectful. But it started way before that. And I guess what I want to ask is this, Rob. Did he got what he wanted at the end of the day, which is out of there. In fact, not only out of there, but to Brooklyn, which is where he wanted to go from the get-go. Do the ends, throwing all those guys under the bus, basically mailing it in for five games, do the ends justify the means?
Absolutely.
I mean, sometimes it's a dog-eat-dog world.
Absolutely. People don't like it, Chris. We see it all the time. Divorces, businesses being broken up, partners breaking up. We've seen groups, right, Chris?
Music groups?
Musical groups that break up. They make beautiful music together, but they can't get together off of the stage. Do you know what I mean? Like, they can't.
Right.
It can't work.
Or one of the, you know, the star leaves them.
Right.
I mean, kind of like this.
Lionel Richie left the Commodores,
right?
I mean, I could go.
Jeffrey Osborne left LTD.
Chris, the list is so long. It used to be Diana Ross and the Supremes.
Right.
She left the Supremes. I could go on and on and on.
Beyonce, Destiny's Child.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
But the thing that I'm always, and most of the time it's not that messy, but sometimes, Chris, it is messy. And sometimes, if you make a request and they don't just, you know, acquiesce to what you want, and you figure to yourself, I'm going to eat a box of ring dings. I'm going to go to the strip club with no mask.
That's what he figured.
No, right? Like, what can I do
to stop shooting as much.
Right. I'm gonna score 5 points in the game. I'm just
right.
Like, seriously, I'm trying to get a message to you. I don't want to be here. So yes, as a professional, you hate to see it, Chris, but I get it. This is how people get their way. It happens all the time. James Harden is no different from a lot of people who are legally bound into something, but they're trying to get their way out of it. And this is what you do. You make people so disgusted by what it is you're doing to them that they finally go, okay, just get this guy out of here. I don't even care. We just want him out of here. And that's what the Rockets did.
You know what? I hear you. And as much as I'm bothered by the way James Harden did his the way he did his teammates. I mean, this is John Wall, Rob. He treated John Wall like a darn scrub. I mean, Harden's ruthless, I guess. Because he was acting like having John Wall on your team was like, you know, having Landry Shamet as your two guard.
Why you got to rip Landry?
I'm just saying, like, yeah, I'm not saying Landry's a scrub. I'm just saying, you know, like, I mean, it's a John Wall. John Wall's not as good as Harden. But there haven't been many people that have ever played the game that are as good as Harden. John Wall was a perennial all-star.
Yeah, but the John Wall thing, I just get like he was in NBA Siberia. His career's derailed. Like he never wound up.
I'm just saying, wouldn't you agree with this? If James Harden, and ultimately, I get it, it's not what you want. But if James Harden was all in on this team, they would be pretty good. Like maybe a fourth seed, you know, they could be a third or fourth seed, fifth seed, something like that in the West. Now, they weren't going to win the West. But don't you think they could have been pretty good?
Yeah, but that's not what he wants at this point. Pretty good.
No, I agree.
Just isn't where he wants to be. And I get it, Chris. I really do. John Wall is basically a player dump. You take our bad player with a big contract,
but
and we'll take yours.
But he can play.
No,
but
I
hasn't
know.
Shown he can win at a high level.
Right, but that's what that was. It wasn't like, oh, wow, unbelievable. The Rockets got John Wall. Now we're cooking with gas. Now we're relevant in
but
the West.
Hold on. Boogie, no. I know Boogie's Boogie. He ain't all that anymore. But Christian Wood is playing really
nice.
Good ball.
Good.
Eric Gordon,
nice.
You know, is a good player. P.J. Tucker's a good role player. Like, Harden just threw them under the bus. But here's the other thing, Rob. How about Steven Silas? And you and I talk about this all the time. And the players even have been saying it since George Floyd. Black coaches, black executives, social justice. And Steven Silas paid mad dues, Rob. We both know him. 20 years in the league as an assistant. Long overdue that he gets a head coaching job. And you do this to him? It rubs me the wrong way. Now, I get it. You are right. All that said, this is how people do it. And not just in sports, not just in entertainment and music. It's a dog-eat-dog world, right?
We've seen it.
It happens in our business, Rob.
Yes. How many big-time people in our business wind up doing something crazy or whatever, Chris, saying some stuff, right? For the company to finally like let them go.
We've heard stories about people doing stuff, you know, really underhanded stuff to get interviews.
Yes.
Like to steal an interview from another person. You get credit for it, but the other person really is the one hooked it up or was going to get it. You know, we've heard that stuff. So this is, unfortunately, it's not right. I don't like it. But at the end of the day, James Harden got what he wanted. Anthony Davis didn't make it. He didn't go about it as unprofessionally as James Harden, but it was still ugly with him too.
No.
Getting out of New Orleans, you know?
No, it was ugly. People forget that. They're
right.
Okay with that because
it was
to,
ugly.
No,
yeah.
But it was ugly, Chris. He left his team in a lurch and upset the apple cart. No, people in New Orleans, don't you remember when he came back? They booed the hell out of him. Right. He was public enemy number one.
Yep.
He was selfish. He was this.
Quarters. It wasn't his fault, but they were benching him for fourth quarters. Then they just stopped. They stopped playing him altogether. You're right. It was ugly. And the bottom line is he got what he wanted, and now his career is on a higher trajectory. If James Harden, if you're right, whether it's this year or next year or whatever, if James Harden, if this becomes, I can't imagine it becoming a dynasty, but if it becomes, even if they just win one, it's going to help James Harden because he's going to be starring. He ain't going to be over there sitting in the corner averaging 15 points.
Nah, you're right. He's going to be balling. What if they do what KD did when he went to Golden State? I'm just saying, if they won that, these three together, Chris, they win two championships. They're good to go. Their careers, they're good to go if they were able to pull something off like that to be able to win back-to-back championship with those three. You will never talk about James Harden being a loser and all that. Right. People won't even say that.
Even though people disparage KD and say, well, they were easy rings, you still give him the respect.
You have to.
He still got that monkey off his back. Like, think if Durant didn't have a ring. Let's say he stayed in OKC and at this point in his career does not have a ring. We would think of him much differently than we do right now. He wouldn't be in the conversation for top 15 player of all time.
No, so not at all. Not at
it,
all.
It. I don't see them. I cannot see them. I would be gobsmacked. That's my new word.
Yeah, what is that?
Shocked. I stole it from Nick Wright. I would be gobsmacked if they became what Golden State was. I just cannot see that. But if they get one ring, you're right. It'll get the monkey off Harden's back, especially if he balls out.
It would say something about, even though they got a stacked team, KD winning in another place, right, Chris? Right. He becomes like that guy, like where he goes, people win. Kyrie would have his second championship. That would change him from being he was there with LeBron when they won. There's a lot riding on this, and it could be the beginning of something beautiful if these guys can figure out how to play together, how to use their talents, and just play basketball and figure it out.
Their goal should be, and I know you got to take it one day at a time, one year at a time, but their goal should be dynasty because that's how they really would cement themselves. One championship would be great because Harden, you're right, it'd be more than one for Kyrie and KD. But if they became a dynasty, that's when you're really talking about something. But I'm going to say this about KD too, because if they win a ring, say this year, next year, I don't want to hear, oh, but he had Harden and Kyrie. And because – look, LeBron's had mad talent when he's won his rings. You know, he had Kyrie.
Right,
and remember what Kevin Love was before, you know, he went to Cleveland. And now he's got AD. And so, hey, Magic Johnson never won a talent without Kareem and Worthy or you know, Jamal Wilkes, who's a Hall of Famer. You know, Magic was surrounded by talent in all his championship years. Like, it takes talent.
You got to, and that's why,
I think
just
the
like
Golden
you talked
State
about.
Thing's a little different because he went there. That team was kind of set. But if this is his team, even though Kyrie's more of a leader, this is KD's team. You know, he's the best player. So, and Harden's joining his team. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a little different.
No, this will be interesting how it plays out. 877-99 on Fox.
877-996-6369. All right. You saw what James Harden did in Houston. Did the ends justify the means? And did his recent actions make you think less of him? Your turn to weigh in with Chris and Rob, The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, it's The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, on a Worship Wednesday, and we're brought to you by AutoZone. Are you dealing with a dead battery? Head to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. They got great things like free battery services, such as free battery testing and free battery charging. That is awesome. So next time you're having battery trouble, just head over to AutoZone. It's your battery solution and America's number one battery destination. All right, 877-99 on Fox. Did James Harden's cruel means or ways justify the means? Is that means justify the ends? There it is.
There it is. All right, let's kick it off with Nick in South Carolina. You're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Nick?
What's up, guys? Always a pleasure to listen to you while I'm at work.
Thank you, buddy.
Man.
It's just the unfortunate reality of the business. I mean, look, James Harden is a diva. That's a fact. This reminds me kind of Vince Carter back in 2005, except right. James Harden is like Vince Carter on steroids.
Toronto, right. When he forced his way out of Toronto.
Right. Yep. But he's just too entitled for someone who is at most a top 30 player all time. I mean, you know, that the Rockets did everything they could to build a contender around him. And the way he treated him, I mean, it's just sad. I mean, it's not like Harden was stuck in a situation like LeBron had his first go around in Cleveland.
No, good point.
As far as their ability to win a championship, I mean, you look at some of these player-built teams, the Heat with LeBron, Wade, and Bosch, they all sacrificed. Steph and Clay sacrificed when KD came. Outside of KD, I don't see Kyrie or Harden sacrificing any part of their game. So I don't think it's going to work.
Nick, I disagree. I think once you get out there and you realize what needs to be done, and this is legacy building for all three of them. This is a huge moment that three guys with this much talent, and if they can't get it together and learn to play together, these AAU teams nowadays, Chris, are loaded with all talented players. There's five guys who could play really well.
And yeah, all I'm saying, like you said, they play a neighborhood.
No, I understand, but I'm just saying it's not inconceivable to me. You need talent.
It's certainly not inconceivable.
I know, but people
I actually think Harden has the skills to play many different ways. He's a great passer. I mean, Harden, honestly, could just be the point guard and set up KD and Kyrie. He's going to get you his 20. He's a great shooter. That's one thing that helps him, Rob, is all three of them are great shooters.
Right. No
doubt.
So
that does make it, you know, give it a better chance
of working. In this man's NBA, Chris, where you need to be able to knock down threes.
Yeah. I didn't like that Harden seemed to refuse to look in the mirror. Because he's part of the reason they don't have a championship, or he doesn't have a championship.
No, there's
he
no doubt
chances.
About it.
Yeah, so I didn't like that he wouldn't look in the mirror. But, yeah, we'll see. He's going to have to make a sacrifice. If neither of them other than KD will make a sacrifice, then it's going to be trouble. But we'll see if they do.
John in Orlando, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. Enjoy your show as always.
Thank you.
I believe what you're saying about a legacy. I believe Brooklyn can win, and they may win a couple. Here's my only question is, that legacy word, you know KD is hyped up on beating LeBron or being seen, viewed as LeBron. What happens first round of a championship in KD goes for 15? That next game, is he coming out trying to get an MVP? That's real talk because I know KD sees himself equal with LeBron. And I think that might be where it crumbles in a final when all of those guys are so big. And it's sad because the reality is with sports radio, and I love sports radio, but we hit cats with legacy 2 years into the league. Like right now, it's like, Luka, what are you going to do? Your legacy is riding on this, and you're 2-3 years into the pros.
No, I don't disagree. I don't disagree. And because everything is immediate now, we don't let things breathe. Right, Chris? We got a news cycle.
It's just a part of the whole media conglomerate.
As we say every night, we got 3 hours to kill.
Right.
You know what I mean, Chris? We can't sit here and tell you, I know I wouldn't listen
you
to the show.
You want narratives. You
if
want
me and you
lines.
Both came
right.
on tonight, Chris, and said, oh, well, the Nets got Harden, and we'll get back to you in June and tell you if it worked out. What right. show are we doing? Right?
Absolutely.
That's
Absolutely.
What we're here for, to Absolutely. Tell you why we believe or we don't believe on why this thing is going to work. We might be right. We might be wrong. But that's why we're here.
One thing I'll say about this big three in Brooklyn, they're all three scorers. And I mean, primarily, like, none of them is exceptional. Like, if they're not scoring, they're not, like, exceptional in anything else. Of course, Kyrie is in ball handling, but, you know, that's not, like, rebounding or defense or, you know, whatever. So that's the interesting thing. Like, none of them are great defenders. Only KD is a good defender. None of them are tremendous rebounders. They're good passers, you know, but that's secondary to their what they really do, which is score. It's going to be interesting. AD can play D. LeBron obviously does much more than score. It's going to be great to watch.
Mark in Sacramento, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio.
What's going on, gentlemen?
What's up, man? Alex is back.
That's right.
I noticed. Hey, real quick, before we get into this, Rob, you always talk about people who don't want to bet you Jordans because you always win bets. I'm not a betting guy, but I will bet you a pair of my Stacey Adams versus a pair of your Jordans that they don't win. They don't beat the league. How about that, bro?
Let's do it. Me and you, Mark, let's do it.
Let's do it. I'll tell you why. Because Chris kind of stole a little bit of my thunder. I break the game down. I'm not going to, you know, get all romanticized about it like you. You're from New York, so I can hear it in your voice. Okay, Rob? I hear it in your voice. I get you.
I didn't grow up as a Nets fan. I want you to know nobody did, Chris. You know that. Nobody grew up in New York as a Nets fan.
Right.
So I'm just talking about the New York, New Jersey area. I can hear that Northeastern in your voice.
From New York. Right, right.
Okay, I get you. My thing is this. Chris hit it on the head. I break the game down. Something's going to happen immediately in the playoffs. One of those guys can guard, that's Durant. Those other two dudes can't guard air. That's going to be a problem. And they got rid of Dinwiddie and LeVert, who can guard on the perimeter.
No, Dinwiddie got
and
hurt.
And Allen in the middle. Prince, that's going to be a problem.
Jared Allen, yeah. Nah, it gave, man, they gave up a lot. They gave up a lot. I would have loved to have kept Jared Allen. I know you got to give up something to get a guy like Harden.
You can't make a trade. Like, that's a fan trade. A fan trade is we get Harden and we give them the last four guys on the bench. That ain't no trade. That ain't going to happen. Only fans come up with those trades. You got to give up something. That's all. I mean, you have to give up something to get a talent like a James Harden. It's just what happens. I mean,
you know, Rob. And look, I will say this. Joe Harris can play. DeAndre Jordan is okay for what he is. Jeff Green, okay for what he is. He's older. Landry Shamet, I have faith in as a role player. So they've got some guys. Brooks Brown is a good defender. They've got some guys. And you know, Rob, how many times has a role player gotten it done? Robert Horry, Derek Fisher, Ray Allen, at that point in his career when Miami was
a role
player.
And Chris, here's the other
thing. Shane Battier, you know?
Here's another thing that people don't – Mike Miller with Miami. Remember knocking out all those threes?
Yep.
Right? Okay, he wasn't in the mix. Miami, he helped them win a title. Let's just be honest.
Oh, no question. And the other part is – says it's the others. You need the others.
No, right.
You know?
And here's the other part. It doesn't mean that they're done, that they can't pick up. Some team falls out of it, Chris.
No,
and there's a big guy.
I think they have three roster spots left, and they might get a trade, you know, the exception for Dinwiddie's injury exception.
That's what I'm saying. So that they get,
they could add some stuff.
All right, let's do Tim in Atlanta. You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. Real quick, Tim.
Hey, how you guys doing this evening?
Doing good.
I listen to you guys all the time. I just want to quickly say that my concern about that team is I just don't think there's any toughness on that team. I think if they hit a hard spot in the playoffs and times gets tough, who will be that one person that will step up and show some toughness and leadership skills? I think they all three are just too sensitive, and I don't think there's any toughness between the three of them, and I think you need that in the playoffs sometimes when you hit a rocky spot. And I just don't see it in those guys. So I just wonder who will take that role.
Honestly, KD is the best player. We know that. I do think all of them have shown mental weakness at times on the court, except I think Kyrie's mental issues, Rob, we talk about off the court. On the court, you can question some of his decisions or whatever, but he does not shrink.
Thank you.
Like I can't remember Kyrie shrinking. He might miss a shot, make a bad play, shoot too much, whatever. But he doesn't shrink to my recollection.
And
his mental things are off the court, you know?
And there's something about him, Chris. Most guys can't finish at the rim. It takes a certain degree of toughness and confidence to finish at the rim.
Right.
That's Kyrie.
He's one of the greatest finishers at the guard position we've ever seen.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
ESPN's The Undefeated. He's also the co-author. I have the book right here. It's a new book that came out recently called I Came as a Shadow, and it is the autobiography of John Thompson. We are pleased to welcome in Jesse. What's up, brother?
What's up, Jesse? Hey.
My man, yo, what's going on, fellas? Great to be here.
Great to have you on. Let's start off with the book. I mean, we all know the legend of John Thompson. What in the book will we read about that will surprise us?
That he was a mama's boy. You know, that so many
at 6 foot nine, he was a mama's boy.
6'10". Give Coach 6'10". That chance. Coach was a big-time mama's boy. Coach said he was soft in his neighborhood growing up. Coach said that some of the biggest influences on his coaching came from black women who were not coaches, starting with his mother. His mother is the reason why he wore the towel over his shoulder, because to wow. remind him of, you know, how she would work around the kitchen and stuff. He had a sixth grade teacher named Samantha Wallace Jackson. He had an instructor in his master's degree program at the University of District Columbia. Her name was Dr. Anita Hughes. And they instilled in him the principles of education, how to help kids, how to protect them, how to educate them. They had as much influence on his life as his coaching mentors like Dean Smith and Red Auerbach. So what really surprised me, and I knew a lot about Coach Thompson going into this project, was the type of places that he got his influences from, teachers. Who knew that Red Auerbach was his mentor? Who knew that him and Dean Smith were best friends? These are the kind of things you get in the book.
Did he was he cool with where he was? Like, you know, maybe they should have won more, you know, Georgetown with the talent that he had and some of the players who came through there. But I think, you know, I always got the feel or the sense that him guiding those young guys through and getting them, you know, to the pros and to being good model, being good citizens meant more to him, or even more than just winning another national championship or two.
That's a great question, Rob. And like everything about Coach, it's complicated. He always says, and he says in the book, I only had to win one. You know, he said, I didn't have to be John Wooden. I had to win one championship to prove to everybody that black people had the intelligence to be successful. So, and he also got great fulfillment out of helping all these young brothers and young players and things like that. However, he burned to win, and he didn't really open that corner of his psyche in the book about Villanova, and I don't blame him. He talked about it, and obviously it was painful for him to lose, but he hated to lose, and he knew that they should have won that national championship game against Villanova, you know, and he didn't say they got lucky, but I'll say it. You know what I'm saying? That,
man, well, Villanova shot like 80% from the field.
Yes.
It was the most unbelievable game I ever watched. And they were able, and they shot like ridiculous and only won by 2 or 3 points, right?
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
Right.
They shot 75% for the game. You
Which
know,
is crazy. I mean,
and that was against
game.
A great defensive team, too.
Yep.
That's
one of the
incredible.
Best of all time. And only won by two. And only one by two. So, I mean, call it what you will. You know, it might have been the ghost of Adolph Rupp over there in Rupp Arena looking down and saying, I'm not going to let this go back to back in my gym.
Right.
Sorry, Kentucky, my bad.
How scarred, if that's the right word, was John Thompson from all the racial things the racism he you know, was victimized by? I mean, especially his players, like, you know, the Patrick Ewing and fans would call him an ape and throw bananas at him
and whatnot.
And all
that
stuff. Like, did that, how much did that really scar him, or was he able to just blow it off kind of?
the way I would best describe it, it was like the iron being forged in the fire. You know, the strength gave me the battle gave me the strength to keep going. That's what he said in the book. And so he did not give me the impression while we were working on the book, and it doesn't come across in the book, oh, poor me, you know, they hurt my feelings so bad. He was like, no, hey, this is what it is. A lot of other black people had to deal with a lot worse things. My father had to go to work in the fields when he was a young child and therefore couldn't get an education. My mother was trained in college as a teacher but had to scrub floors and clean toilets. So if these people want to treat me in a racist fashion, I'm going to overcome it just like my parents did, and I will be stronger because of it. So
one thing,
I think he was deeply affected and he was strengthened, but I wouldn't say scarred.
The one thing that I admired about John Thompson was he wasn't afraid to take on the NCAA when they kept changing the rules and, you know what I mean, and basically pushing black kids out of college and whatnot. Every time they would figure out something, they'd change the qualifications to get in and the scores and just – but he would always fight that, and he was outspoken and just wouldn't sit back and ignore it. Did you talk about just – you know, being willing to take on that fight? A lot of coaches wouldn't do it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he relished that sort of opportunity to stand up for his people, for education, for young black kids who deserved help, you know. And let's not forget that years before the NBA decided to boycott to protest racial injustice, Coach John Thompson, to protest an academically racist rule, boycotted two games, walked off the court. You know, and really laid down a blueprint that the NBA is still following. That was 32 years ago tomorrow in protest of Proposition 42.
That's what I'm talking about. No doubt. I remember it vividly.
Yeah. And to the end, I mean, at the end of his book, Coach Thompson talks about he's challenging the NCAA again because he's saying, I think we should pay the players because the NCAA is not enforcing rules against paying players. You got all these coaches out here who are on tape talking about paying players, and they're still coaching and getting paid millions of dollars. So just level the playing field. Allow players to be paid because the NCAA is not willing to stop the cheating. That's bold right there. I can't think of any other coach who has made that stand.
Right, right. Well, that's Jesse Washington, writer for ESPN's The Undefeated, man. Look, sounds like a great book. Go check it out. It's I Came as a Shadow, the autobiography of John Thompson, with Jesse Washington. We appreciate the time.
Congratulations on it too, Jesse, man. Mazel tov.
Thanks very much, guys. Appreciate y'all. Keep rocking.
All right, brother. Peace. And Rob, on the back cover, obviously they've got endorsements by Patrick Ewing, Michael Jordan, Bill Clinton, Mike Krzyzewski, Phil Knight. Here's what Allen Iverson said. Thanks for saving my life, coach.
Wow.
And you know his story. I mean,
no, I know the story.
That's right. Not just hyperbole, you know. So he really helped make Allen Iverson into what he became, one of the greatest players ever. All right, we got more iCouple coming your way with Shop Talk. That's next. Keep it locked, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's the iCouple, Chris and Rob, on a Worship Wednesday, and it's time for Shop Talk.
Ain't nobody exempt in the barbershop. You know that. Ain't nobody exempt. You can talk about whoever and whatever, whenever you want to in the barbershop.
Now, it's Shop Talk.
That is right. It is your new growing favorite segment here on the iCouple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Voice? Next to Tyshirt's Tower of Trivia.
Well, some would say that is probably above Parker's power ranking because changes every other day. But this is a segment of the time. Hi, Rob. It's good to talk to you, too. Where we go outside the world of sports and we do something that otherworldly gentlemen like to do, where we like to talk about what is going on. As Chris thinks of himself as a young MC standing on phone books and hitting people back in the college days with him, he is a good insight for music. So, guys, I don't know if you've seen this, but DJ Funk Flex made headlines this week when he was talking about Drake, as Drake was caught up using ghostwriters and reference tracks, and that's probably why predominantly he was saying Jay-Z is the greatest rapper of all time and not Drake. And that's probably a big controversial thing that a lot of people talk about, and it made headlines, guys. So the simple question I want to ask you both, and we'll start with Chris here, is does it matter to you guys if somebody like Drake uses ghostwriters or references to help him write his music? So Chris, what do you think?
Well, hip hop is different because the mantra for hip hop has been, even though in the last few decades, it's really kind of, you know, been tossed aside, but it's always been keep it real. Right. And so when you rap, you're supposed to be rapping about your thoughts, who you are. Right. So if I meet a Chuck D, I expect him to be politically minded. You know what I mean?
Not somebody else writing it for him.
Right, exactly. Like, I expect the rapper to really be about the things he raps about generally. So in terms of ranking, like, the greatest rappers of all time, he can't be number one or, you know, that close to the top. Now, I'll give Drake this. He's a great rapper. He doesn't write, you know, he doesn't write all his rhymes, of course, but he's a great rapper. And if it comes to if we just say making good music, good songs, the sound of his voice over the beats and his flow and all that, he is great at that. So a lot of rap, you know, I said the keep it real isn't what it used to be. I mean, Rick Ross was a corrections officer, and he's rapping about being, you know, Rick Ross, Free Ray Ricky Ross, you know, some legendary drug dealer. So the keep it real mantra has kind of been ignored lately. So that's how I'll say it. In hip hop, real hip hop, we're going to rank the best MCs. No, Drake can't be there. But for just making great music, no, he's made great music.
No, I know you're just splitting hairs talking about music or whatever, but he can't rank if somebody else is writing those words, because that is a part of being the artist.
It well, isn't not about, a singer. No, singers don't always write their own
no,
stuff.
No, I know that, but I'm just talking about, and when you talk about rap, and it is, Chris, it's usually about the struggles. Started from the bottom, but I made it to the top, or whatever. What was that song?
But now we're here. Good try, bottom,
but I'm right, here. But yep. You know what I mean. That's usually not from a guy who was a childhood
child
star who made money and was a millionaire. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm just... So there's something there that people connect to, and that's what they usually want to hear. So I don't think it
but
works.
But don't you think, I hear you, and like I said, you can't rank him that high in rankings. However, he has made great songs. Wouldn't you give him that?
No,
and he can rap.
I
it ain't
that.
Like you just throw anybody. There's a lot of great rappers. But it's not like he's got a unique, kind of a distinctive
what
flow.
What do we always talk about, Chris?
He's tight.
When we're talking about the greatest of all time, we nitpick. We nitpick.
Right.
And we would nitpick on this.
I'm not saying he's the greatest of all time. I'm just saying Drake had an era. That's how I look at the GOATs in hip-hop. Did you have an era? LL had an era. Melly Mel had an era. Ice Cube had an era. Rakim, KRS-One, Nas, Jay-Z, Biggie. Drake had an era. Eminem, he did. People, Lil Wayne, like Alex, you a hip hop aficionado. He had an era.
I'm not arguing that at all. I mean, back when he blew up, where he was singing songs like "I Better Find Your Lovin'," when he had these like R&B kind of jams, where he was more of a vocalist.
Too,
that's
right.
What I'm saying. Like, to me, Drake will forever be more of a vocalist than a rapper, because per se, when I listen to his best stuff, he's singing most of the time. And then when you get this backstory about he has ghostwriters, people helping him, I will agree with you, Chris. His music, I'm looking at Spotify right now. He's still number 9 in the world, and who knows the last time he released like a CD or something. So definitely the guy makes hits, but is he a great, like out of the whole circumference of greatest? Not even on my top 10. Not on top 10.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that, because when, like I said, when you're talking about MCs, part of it is authentic.
But keep in mind, CB, young kids now, they just want it to sound good, so they'll say Drake.
Yeah, no, you're right.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm shocked Funkmaster Flex said Drake over Jay-Z. That's stunning. All right, it's the iCouple. We got an hour left. Keep it locked.